Fox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 375. First and foremost, it's an 8-8 energy special. And I tell you why. There's a huge amount, and I mean huge amount of interest about this company. And if you're tuning in to hear Chris Cleverly of African Potash and Blenheim Resources, we've had to postpone for some reason. Chris is very busy doing something. It's not a cancellation. It's a postponement, and that will happen hopefully maybe late this week or maybe even next week. I'm not sure yet. We're trying to sort out a date. But like I said, Stefan from MX Oil postponed from Monday, but that's happening tomorrow and Wednesday on the podcast. But also, had lots of interest in the new Vox Market app. It's as simple as this. First and foremost, it's on iPhone, so iOS. The app is only. It's not on Android yet, but it should be the beta version released in the next 48 hours, and it's free, and this is why it's genius. What's one of the functions so far? Like I said, still in beta, and so it's not officially released yet, but it's still in beta, so you can get ahead of the curve on this, and essentially, three easy ways of using this, right? This is how I find it very useful, first and foremost, the app this is. So go to the App Store, download the Vox Markets app, register, then set up a watch list. Three things you do. Simpler. So download, register, set up a watch list. You will then get RNS announcements by the companies you've included on your watch list sent straight to your front screen on your phone when they release them. Within seconds, minutes of the company releasing them, it'll be on the front screen of your phone. So like I said, you can get email updates from many a sort of website, but they can sit in your inbox or you can go into spam and you won't see them mainly. But when you get a push notification straight to your phone, you see it there and then. Swipe, read, tap, share. Simple as that. So that's the Vox Market app. Download it now. It's a valuable, free, little resource that you need to use if you want to keep up to date. And I think, if there's one thing you need to do as a decent investor, that's read. Read, read, read. You can read as much information as you want about a company. Everyone has that within their ability. But if you get this sign up there, you get this RNS release there, straight to your phone there. And like I said, the Android version of this will be out, hopefully, the beta version in the next 48 hours. So just go to the App Store there, as it is. Download the Vox Market app.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
Joining me on the podcast right now is Managing Director of 8-8 Energy, Dave Wall. Thanks for coming back on, Dave.
My pleasure, Justin. Good to speak to you.
And I've got to say, you are backed by popular demand. I'll give you an example. I send out a little link saying, if you've got any questions to submit to this company, who I've got on the podcast, please submit them here. And normally I can get anything ranging from a couple of questions up to about 20, 25. And frankly, that's too many. For you, I got 75 questions. I'm not going to go through all those because there were quite a few duplicates. But you can see how popular your company is.
Well, that's great. And I mean, obviously it's been a pretty exciting time for us, having drilled our first exploration well on our project up there in Alaska. And I can, kind of guess why people want to know what's going on. So hopefully we can answer some of the questions.
Give us a sort of, elevator pitch, Dave. Do you know what that is, basically?
I do.
A one-minute summary of what you're about.
Yeah, no problem, Justin. So basically we picked this project up in November 2014. From a US guy called Paul Basinski, who's an unconventional expert and played a major role in putting together the Eagleford play. And he saw, similar potential up in Alaska. We leased 99,000 acres in November 2014. And then we basically got after drilling our first well to take advantage of a very generous Alaskan tax rebate system, which would give us 85% of our money back for all of the expenditure in 2015. And we got that permitted in pretty much record time, partly because there is an existing gravel pad on our acreage, which is next to the road and the pipeline which run through our acreage. Without those, we wouldn't have been able to do that. And we drilled, in the last few months of 2015, an exploration well, which was, ostensibly a core hole to test the shale play that Paul Basinski believes, and we believe, exists on our acreage. And we also had a look at some conventional horizons on the way down. And we are now in an evaluation phase, having recently completed the drilling just before Christmas. And, I guess we, as well as all of our investors, are eagerly awaiting the results of you know, that evaluation work, which is ongoing.
Cool. Right. Well, if there are any gaps in that description, Dave, I'm sure we'll cover them off with these questions. These are submitted by private investors. So the first one, you may not be able to answer all of them, but do your best. The first one, the previous two RNSs referring to the core samples were very technical. But in layman's terms, could you state what has been found in the form of conventional and unconventional oil and any gas potential also?
Yeah, so I'll answer the unconventional side of things first. So what we're looking for on the unconventional is what's called instantaneous phase, which is, or a vapor phase, which is where, really where you have the crossover between a liquid hydrocarbon and a gas hydrocarbon. So you basically have a little bit of both, because you need the gas to be able to push the liquids out of the reservoir in its most simplistic term. And what we have seen is so far some encouragement that we have, you know, some heavy liquids or heavy gas, which is gas that contains these liquids, whilst we were drilling through the target horizon. So as I said, that gives us encouragement, but we also need to figure out exactly what the thermal maturity is, which is what drives the ratio between the liquids and the gas, and which will determine whether we are in the right spot. And that will take, you know, several more weeks to determine. And then we also need to figure out definitively what the permeability is, which is effectively, you know, how this gas slash liquids combination can flow through the rock if it's fracture simulated, and a bunch of other things like pressure, you know, porosity and things like that. So that's the unconventional side. Still early days in terms of the evaluation, but what we've seen so far is encouraging, but we still need to do more work. And then on the conventional side, you know, just briefly, you know, we kind of suspected, because we don't have 3D seismic, which is the tool that is used to identify conventional prospects, which we didn't need for the shale, because the shale is, you know, very thick blanket layer across all of our acreage. You know, we knew we'd have to get very lucky to hit a conventional discovery. And what we actually have found is we found all the ingredients required for a conventional discovery at several horizons, but just not all in the same place at the same time. So for example, we don't have at this location the trapping mechanism which you would need to hold the oil in place, but what we do have is a lot of oil in the system, and we have very good quality reservoir. So without, you know, those two things, there's no point having a trap. So what we need to do now is acquire some 3D seismic and identify a location where there is a trap. And because Alaska is one of the oiliest, if not the oiliest places on the planet, if we find a trap, there's a very good chance that it will be full of oil.
Okay. And this trap, you're saying, should be on the acreage you already own. Is that right?
Well, we've got 274,000 acres now, which is a very large parcel of land. And what that does is increase statistically our chances of having, you know, a prospect of a decent size on our project. So we don't know. I mean, there's always a chance that there'll be no prospects, but I think that would be highly unlikely. But given the size of our acreage position, we think we've got a very good chance that there'll be something of decent size. But we won't know that until we actually get the 3D seismic.
Okay, and you said that, you know, the lab results or tests are going ahead as we talk. First and foremost, how long do you think they'll take? And before those tests reveal anything, what is your general feeling?
I mean, the general feeling is positive. You know, you have to be optimistic when you're in the exploration game. But I think that, you know, a lot of work has gone into this project. We haven't seen anything so far that kills the project, so that's obviously very positive, and we are looking for those things. That's the kind of the key things we're looking at, things that can kill the project, because there's no point spending money evaluating something that won't work, and we haven't identified anything like that yet. The first results that will come out of the project will be the gas oil ratio, which was that thermal maturity that we talked about, and the permeability, which are the two key metrics, or two of the key metrics, and we should know those results within 3 to 4 weeks.
Okay, all right. Next question. On the last podcast, you estimated chances of commercial success at Icewine at 25%. Has your view changed after the early analysis of the drill results at Icewine 1?
Yeah, I think that the commercial chance of success, you know, obviously in a higher oil price environment, would have increased marginally, let's say. But it's pretty hard to put a number on it, because everything that we're looking at the moment is incomplete. So directionally, we're looking good, but how strong, you know, that direction is very hard to say. It's just, all I can say is that it's positive at this stage.
Okay. There's an added bit onto that other question there about the results there, or your thoughts before the results. Is Paul Buzinski happy with the drill?
Yeah, I mean, Paul's a pretty optimistic guy as well. I mean, he is also a guy that questions constantly, you know, all the work that he's done. So he is, you know, going through that process of trying to identify things that can kill the project. And at the moment, we can't see anything. But as I said, it is still early days. And, you know, there is a chance. And given that, you know, we're still in that 25% plus something, which isn't going to be a huge number at this stage, that still implies that there is still a greater chance of failure than success. So there is a, you know, still a good chance that we will find something that does kill the play. You know, however, you know, as we talked about previously, the size of the prize means that the optionality involved with something that is in that 25% plus ballpark chance of success means it's still pretty compelling.
Okay, so even with the results of the lab tests on the core samples, or without them, I mean, would you say the drill has been successful in de-risking the acreage already based on current knowledge at Icewine?
Yeah, definitely. So when I talk about, you know, the directionally positive, that's what we're talking about. The risk has decreased, but by what quantum, that's still a question that I can't commit to because I don't really know the answer until we see some of the tests from the lab.
Yeah. Are you confident the first core was indeed contaminated with drilling fluids? And can you explain that, Dave?
Well, there was actually three cores taken. The first core was not taken in the HRZ, so I assume that this actually refers to the second core, which was the HRZ core. And, you know, that is one of the things that we are getting tested in the lab, so I can't say that I'm confident or not confident of that because I just don't know the answer at this point in time.
All right. Next one, on the Icewine drill test was to evaluate unconventional play. If tests prove a conventional play is possible, would that be pursued?
Oh, of course. And I mean, we know that conventional plays do exist on our acreage. And one of the things that we have learned, which was, you know, certainly surprising to me, was that the deeper sand, which was at, you know, almost at the bottom of the well at about 11,300 feet, you know, I had expected that to be quite poor porosity and also low permeability. But what we have seen is porosity, you know, which we have reported in the range of 15% plus, which is very good for sands at that depth. And, you know, that has, you know, very good flow potential. And, you know, we'll be looking at releasing something to the market which describes what we believe the flow potential of that is. You know, at this location, it looks like there's some gas there, which may have some condensate in it, and water. So obviously that's not going to be worth exploiting, and we don't think there's a trap there either. However, if we could find, you know, a trap at that horizon elsewhere on our acreage that had more oil in it, then, you know, and it had the same reservoir parameters or qualities, you know, that would be very commercial. So that is something that's a bonus as far as I'm concerned on the conventional side. And then the shallower stuff in what we're calling the Brookian, or what is called the Brookian, you know, we always knew that was prospective and, you know, that's been confirmed. So as I said, now what we've got to do on the conventional side of things is acquire the 3D seismic, identify some prospects, and then go out there and drill them.
Okay. There's a bunch of questions about the 3D seismic, as you just mentioned there. So can you explain what's happening with acquiring 3D seismic on the original land and the additional land leases? Does the 3D being sold from the third-party company cover all three lease areas? If not, will you be going for your own 3D on new land that's not covered? And does that carry the rebate clawback?
Yeah, so the existing seismic, which was shot with dynamite during the Alaskan summer last year, that's 83 square miles, and about 60% of that is on the Icewine acreage. And that would give us coverage on about, you know, a third or so of the existing 99,000 acres, not the additional 174,000 acres that we acquired. So only a very small portion would be covered by that seismic shoot. However, strategically, you know, that seismic is of, you know, good value because it does give coverage underneath the river, which is adjacent to the Franklin Bluffs pad where we drilled the Ice One number one well. And if we want to go back and drill Ice One number two with a horizontal, we would need seismic that gave us coverage at that location in order to allow us to geosteer the horizontal portion of the well. So we are looking at that, and you know, that is a commercially sensitive subject, I guess, because you know, we obviously want to get a good price for it, and you know, we also need to QC the data to make sure it is going to give us the quality we need and resolution at the depth to drill the horizontal well, because if it doesn't, it may not be of any value to us at all for the unconventional side of things, which would diminish you know, the value for us on the whole. And then on the additional 3D seismic, that would be on both the existing acreage, which isn't covered by the Dynamite 3D, and also on the new acres.
Okay. Next question is about yourself there.
Oh, yeah, sorry. There was a second part to that question, which was about the credits. So the credits continue until the middle of this year at 75%. So they've reduced from 85% to 75% as of January 1. So the seismic would be subject to those credits.
Okay, good. Next one is, why haven't you bought any shares?
I have bought $280,000 worth of shares in this company.
Oh, okay. Well, there we are. That's answered that. Next one. How much cash do you have in the bank? I'm assuming they don't mean personally. I mean the company there.
Yeah, so at the end of the year, we'll have US $6 million.
Okay. Nice. Will Icewine 2...
It is past the end of the year, so at the by the time we finish up the drilling and pay for everything, there'll be US $6 million in the bank.
Okay, good. Next question. Will Icewine 2 need the joint venture partner in place, and when are you planning drilling to commence?
Well, we can't plan a well around a contingent result until we know what the result is. So that contingent result is the evaluation from the core that's in the lab. So, you know, we've got 2 to 3 weeks for the first two tests, and then there's, you know, a bunch of other tests that we need to do, which are mainly related to rock mechanics, which will determine whether we can fracture the well, and then we'll need to figure out how to fracture it, like what the frac design would be. So if you think about a timeline, really from here, we're probably looking at 9 to 12 months before that well would be able to be spud. And in terms of JV partnering, you know, if we show that the play is strong on the acreage and the share and the oil price appreciates and the share price appreciates, then I guess that would open up different funding options to us. For example, if, you know, this became a stock that institutional investors wanted to put money into to allow us to drill the well ourselves at 100% working interest along with our JV partner Burgundy, which is Paul's company, then, you know, we would obviously consider that option. But could we fund the well based on our current market capitalization? No. So we would need a joint venture partner. But it's a bit of a double-edged sword because at $35 oil, there aren't many people beating down the doors of junior exploration companies to farm in, you know, even if they have compelling stories. So our story would have to be extremely compelling. And we just don't know the answer to that until the evaluation is complete.
Okay. Will you be purchasing more land?
Again, that's a strategic and commercially sensitive subject that I'll probably never talk about.
Okay, good. But you're not ruling it out, because you're keeping your options open there.
I can tell you that the statutory limit on acreage ownership in Alaska on the North Slope is 500,000 acres, and we have, you know, 274,000 gross acres and 230,000 net acres.
Yeah, okay, good. All right, what news is expected over the next few months?
Well, it's really this evaluation work. That's the key news based on mainly the unconventional, but we will also be looking at releasing some information on, you know, the conventional stuff after we've finished our log interpretation. And then it will be related to the seismic. So if we do purchase the 3D seismic, we will be able to try to fast track, process some of that to get some initial, you know, potentially leads or prospects into the market. And that could happen, you know, by mid-year or a little earlier. if we were to do that in short order, and then obviously acquisition of the seismic, you know, which would occur between like the new seismic between March and June, and then the results from that wouldn't be available until the end of the year.
Okay. Last question, probably the hardest question here, and this is where you have to sell yourself here, Dave. The share price is badly performing. What can you say to stop me selling my stake?
Well, I don't think we need to sell ourselves at all. I mean, what we do is we present the information as honestly as we can and try to communicate as effectively as we can. And then it's really up to the investors to make decisions. I'm not going to make decisions on behalf of anyone or tell someone that they should or shouldn't buy or sell stock in any company. And that's not my job.
You know, I like that.
If investors want to get financial advice from someone, they can, you know, read a book or consult a financial advisor. All I can do is run the company as effectively as possible and then present things in an honest and direct way that allows people to make, you know, transparent decisions.
Yeah, do you know what? I like that, because there are many a CEO I've had on who would have gone into sell mode there, and but you didn't. You honestly just presented the information as you find it. You're saying make your own decisions, which every investor should do. And I often see, you know, investors blaming people for investment decisions they've made. And I think, well, hang on, no one pressed the buy button. It's your money, you know. So fair play for that, Dave. Listen, do you know a guy called Steve Larratt?
No.
Well, he's a champion for a company. He basically compiled a lot of these questions. And I would go as far as say he almost knows as much about the company as you. So he's a big fan. So I said I'd give him a mention because he's done really well, come up with a lot of these questions, Dave. But thanks for coming on. And
he's probably got a nickname on a bulletin board that I'm more familiar with. But
yeah, no, maybe. I mean, I think he's generally a fan of what you're doing there, and he's very confident in your work. So, you know, thanks for answering those questions there. And Dave, listen, as always, you know, such a popular company, you can come on once a week if you want. But next time you have a bit of information, please do come back on, fella.
I will. I'll give you a shout when we've got something. And I mean, we should, like I said, we should have something within the next 2 to 3 weeks that's more significant to talk about, and whether it's positive or negative, I'll come on and run everyone through that so that people understand it.
Marvellous. Nice to speak to you, Dave.
Thanks, Justin.
That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. By all means, please get involved. This was an 8-8 Energy special, so there's nothing else included apart from 8-8 Energy. But on the regular podcast, I do have stock with potential, as suggested by you, and I couldn't run this feature if it wasn't for you, so please get involved. Just go to Vox Markets Podcast blog there. You'll see my blog post there with the podcast there. Click the link in one of those posts where it has a stock potential and fill in the form, and I could be mentioning your stock on the next few podcasts. Also, if you want the podcast dedicated to you, go to iTunes, just click the link, and give me a 5-star rating and review, and I will dedicate the podcast to you. Much love. Appreciate it.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.